Appreciate that, choir. Get your Bibles out tonight. Mark chapter number 8. Braden, did Jesus ever make a mistake? No. All right. Said that pretty quick. You didn't want to think about it. Like, maybe there's that one time. Mark chapter number 8. Verse 22, and he cometh to Bethsaida. I don't know, Zeke, that sounds messy to me. Spit on his eyes and put his hands on him. He asked him if he see aught. Man looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands on his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town or tell it to any man in the town. Braden, I'm going to ask you again, did the Lord make a mistake there? No. All right, well, according to Braden, all is well in Mark chapter number 8. Let's pray and see what the Lord has for us. Heavenly Father, we come to you thankful for these passages. God, reminding us of our humanity. And Lord, how much we need you. Lord, I pray that you'd bless this message here tonight, stir in our hearts. Lord, once again, that you'd be with those Christians that are throughout the world maybe experiencing difficulty tonight. God, I thank you for the videos, the reports that we've seen of Christians standing strong. God, I pray that you'd be with Mrs. Trimaldi tonight. Lord, again, just have your gentle hand about her body, about her spirit, Lord. She needs an extra token of your grace. Lord, we love you and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe a passage that you've read in the scriptures and just kind of sat back and scratched your head and said, well, maybe someday the Lord will give me some insight into this, what's going on. There's a city here, and what's happening is there's a blind man. Has Christ healed blind men before? Zeke? Yes. He's good at it. He's really good at it. He's good at healing the blind, the lepers, the lame, all of it. He can even bring the dead back to life. Here he is, and seems very similar of a story. I've seen what happens here. Guaranteed this guy's going away seeing, or his sins be forgiven, or the Pharisees are going to be undone in some way. He's going to teach us a lesson. Well, he does all that. Here Christ, I think it's interesting, we'll start with this thought. In verse 22, he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and he besought him to touch him. The Bible says in verse 23, and he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. That's a strange little flow of events. Here Christ is inside the town. They bring a blind man to him and say, Lord, would you touch him? Would you do what only you can do? And he says, sure. And he takes him by the hand and he leads him out of town. You think, well, that's kind of strange. I bet there's more to the story in that. Let's go to hold your hand in Mark chapter 8. Go to Matthew chapter 11. There is. Town of Bethsaida is what we would call, I don't want to use the word cursed, but cursed. Verse 20, then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. There are certain towns that he did some great miracles, and yet they still didn't believe. Verse 21, it says, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee. Oh, here's our city, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Almost a curse upon this place. Almost to the point of, hey, I'm done working in your midst. Yes, I know there's needs there, but I'm going to do something different. So what does he do? He takes the guy out of the town. takes him by the hand, leads him out of town. He's like, ain't nobody going to see this. And he brings him over here. And then he does his thing. kind of interesting out of the town. Story tells us that first he spits upon his eyes. Now, the impact of that and the, I don't know, in the COVID era in which we live, we look at that and go, that's not allowed anymore. We're not allowed to do that. Put his hands upon him, but, you know, desperate times, and there he goes. And the Bible says in verse 24, and that I believe verse 24 is the key verse of our passage here. And he looked up and he said, I see men as trees walking, to which some critics would say, incomplete miracle. Christ didn't have enough power the first time, and you wouldn't believe the foolishness that people come up with at any point to try and belittle the good of Christ. No, I don't think the problem was with Christ. Christ was very capable to immediately heal those that are blind. But I think he's trying to teach us something here, and I think it's a very important lesson for us. First time the Lord touches him, clears things up. Is he no longer blind? Well, we could say that. He is no longer blind. He sees men as trees walking. Didn't see that before. There were some figures. There was some movement. He noticed light and dark shades. He could see all that. Couldn't make out clarity. I say, what's that like? Well, maybe Mr. Bauman, you could take your glasses off. That would be what it would look like, right? Yeah. I can tell that there's a figure, but I can't make out who that is. And that's kind of what happens here. Lord asks him, he says, hey, look up and why don't you tell me what you see? He doesn't do that with the other blind men. No, he says, now go, and immediately he healed them and he sends them on their way. Why did he ask this one, hey, tell me the view of what you're seeing right now? Because the interchange of conversation here is what he wants to draw our attention to. You know, when we first come to Christ, I don't want to say that there's a progression in our growth, but the Bible tells us to grow in grace. And when you first get saved, certainly the Lord peels back some of the blinders to your life, doesn't he? But it's not all clear. I don't know about you, but when you maybe first came to the Lord, maybe you were up in age a little bit, and yeah, you got in, and all of a sudden you're starting to look around, and the world just looks differently than when you just walked around a few moments ago. All of a sudden, things are a little blurry. There's not a lot of clarity. You're going to need the Word of God to clear some things up in your life, right? Peel back the blinders a little bit. I want to draw your attention to that thought that I see men as trees walking. When we were growing up, I've told you this. My family was from Buffalo. I was born in Buffalo. Moved here when I was way young, like 3 to 6 months old. I don't remember. I was very young. But all of our immediate family, outside of my mom, my dad, my sister, were all in Buffalo. So any family get-together, surprisingly, they didn't come to Rochester. We drove to Buffalo. So we would make that trip down Route 90, and there my sister and I were in the back of a little Chevy Spectrum. I don't know how many cylinders that is or whatever it is. And we're driving down the thruway, and we would sit in the back seats just watch the highway go by. Shoom, 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 shoom. By the time we get back from Christmas and all of that, it's nighttime, and I would sit back and I remember looking up and watching the lights over the highway, and you would just watch it, shoom, and it would all get dark, and then all of a sudden it started getting light again, really bright, and then it's getting darker again, and you would just watch those things go by, shoom, shoom. During the day, you'd watch the trees, just you'd pick out one and just watch it, and then it goes by. Say, why would you do that? Well, there were no iPads. On the thruway, my mom would pull the car over if there was trouble in the back. She could somehow drive and still beat us as children. Yeah. She gave us bingo. We had bingo games to try and find different makes of vehicles. But there was no DVD. There was no air conditioning. Our windows in the back cracked open like this. We got this. And there we were. We would just say, that sounds awful. We didn't know any better. Just watch the trees go by, you know? You know what? Sometimes in our life. We're going through life and we're just passing by people as if they're just trees, just passing by. Shoo, shoo, shoo. And sometimes we don't see souls like how we should see souls. We just go by, almost kind of like sitting in the car, just another bystander zipping by. Shoom, 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 shoom. And we're going through our life, and we're going down the highway of life, if you will, at 100 miles an hour, and things are just passing by. Shoom, shoom, shoom. And we see men as trees just walking around. Sometimes it takes a second touch. Again, I don't think it was for the lack of the power of God in any way. It was to teach us a lesson. I'm going to reveal something a little bit about you, man. At first sight, there's a possibility that you just see, well, what is it that you see? I just see men as trees moving. And then you start getting into the Word of God. And you start seeing the value of a soul. And you start seeing the importance of salvation, not just for you, but for the entire world. And all of a sudden, things begin to get a little more clear. Where once there was just bystanders just going by in the season of life, in the journey of life. But then all of a sudden you start getting the Holy Spirit of God that begins to churn inside your heart. And you're no longer able to just pass by anymore. And you see people, the Bible says, and I saw every man clearly. The lady at the grocery store, the person that's pumping your gas, the guy that works next to you. It's no longer just this abstract human, but I see this person clearly and I see their need for Christ. Something changes. Something changes with a touch of the Lord Jesus Christ upon our spiritual eyes. And we're no longer just self-consumed. And what he didn't care about anybody else when he was blind. Didn't care. Just get me to Jesus. Why wasn't the blind man carrying four other people? I don't know. But there's a danger in our own life that we too could approach men as just trees walking. Oh, at our house, trees are quite valuable. Especially down trees that are well seasoned and cut up into about 18-inch pieces. They're expendable. People are not expendable. If we ever start treating people just like abstract beings just passing by, we have become completely self-consumed and not seeing things clearly at all. And know what we need? We need a touch upon the Lord Jesus Christ, upon the eyes of our hearts, to be restored and see every man clearly. In the same chapter, if we jump over in verse 36, we see the worth of a soul. The Bible says this in Mark chapter 8 and verse 36, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" And he asks this question, "What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" What's the value of a person? The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 13 that there was a pearl of great price. Lord Jesus Christ puts a great price on you. Each and every human has a soul, and each soul is valuable to God. And each soul ought to be valuable to us. There's no one soul more important than another. There's no race. There's no person more important than anybody else. We're all created by God. Unfortunately, sometimes we just see men as trees walking. Hey, I'm going to ask you tonight, what's the value of a soul that you see around you? So, I think people are very important. I want you to take some inventory and some evaluation of your own life. And just think about it. The things that are valuable to you, how do you treat them? And then ask yourself, do I consider all, every man valuable? What's the worth of a soul tonight? Do you see men as trees walking? I'll be honest, that's an apathetic approach to souls. Or do you see every man clearly? I understand we can't reach everybody. But there ought to be a concern for our fellow man to some degree. But if all we do are like in that little car traveling west and east down Route 90, and just every person is just another blip on the screen going by, there's no care, there's no compassion, there's none of that. What's the worth of a soul? According to the Lord, it is of great price. What is your attitude toward souls? Are they in the way? Are they a bother? A tree in the middle of the road would be an annoyance. A couple years ago, there was a storm here, and knocked out power. It was there was trees down everywhere. And we, I don't know, me and the boys had a good idea. Let's go see if we can get somewhere. And we went driving. We literally could not get to Tops from my house, right? There was no way. There were major limbs across. We kept having to turn around. We couldn't get there from here. You know, sometimes we see people kind of like that. You're just in my way. You're a bother. You're an annoyance. You're in the way. When we look at Luke chapter 15 and that sheep that was lost, the Lord seems to put a pretty high premium on each of us. So much so that if one is lost, he would leave the 99, I'm sure, in care under a shepherd. He doesn't just neglect, but he does go and look for that. Hey, there is no casualty to the Lord. He's not satisfied with just collateral damage. Hey, just part of the ministry is that lost one. How do you know? He kept Judas around the entire time. Years ago, there was a young man here. He wanted to quit school. I told him I would. I make stuff up sometimes. I say, why? Just, I don't know. He's like, I want to drop out. I said, you're not allowed to. He's like, oh, I don't know. I just told him he wasn't allowed to. He didn't know that he could have. I just told him he wasn't allowed to. He goes, why do you want me here? I said, because every time I see you walk through the doors, I think it's an opportunity for the Lord to get a hold of your heart. He said, Pastor Russo. There's no one person that is expendable. Amen. Not even a foolish sheep that wanders off on their own. No, each are of the highest priority. Lord, help us to see men clearly, not just as trees walking. Do you see the need tonight? Brother Rice, I think it was it last Sunday night he preached? Last Sunday night, preached on Nehemiah. And Nehemiah was steadfast in getting that work done. You understand, not everyone saw that though. Look at Nehemiah chapter 3. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, so on. Nehemiah chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, next unto them the Tekonites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord. Hey, there were some people that were working and some people that weren't. Why is that? Some people just didn't have the vision. Some people didn't see souls like how the Lord saw souls. Some people didn't see the wall like Nehemiah saw the wall. And they're like, I'm not doing that. Do you see the need tonight? James chapter number 5. James chapter number 5 and verse 20. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Some of you believe that. When was the last time you got an opportunity to share the gospel? This says, he that converteth. I'm not even talking about reaping fruit. But when was the last time you took the opportunity to share the gospel? So the Lord just hasn't brought that by my way. Maybe you're just not seeing it clearly. You say, I'm thinking, if that God is not willing that any should perish, and there's 7.8 billion people in this world, that someone throughout the last number of weeks has come by your way and needed a gospel, and it was your responsibility to share with them, and we didn't. There's a possibility. So let him know that he which converteth the sinner shall, from the error of his way, shall save a soul from death. Hey, this is really important. It's a great need. Oftentimes we treat that we need a gallon of milk or a loaf of bread more than the need of a sinner coming to the Savior. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 11. The Bible says this, for the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. The Lord put a pretty high premium on reaching the lost. And somehow, some way, the devil has worked in our hearts and in our minds and in our eyes to just see men as trees walking and not seeing every man clearly. What do we need? We need a touch by the Lord upon our eyes and upon our hearts. Lord, help me to get serious about the things that you're serious about. So how do you have a burden for souls? Number one, I think this would be the most top priority, is to pray. Pray that God would touch your heart. That you too would be able to see these souls, be able to see men clearly, that it wasn't just these abstract beings that are passing you on the journey of life, but there are people surrounding you that need the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, I would never get anything done. I understand that there's a balance and there's a reality to living life. It's the similarity of pray without ceasing. And we belittle, there's a opportunity to belittle some of the scriptures and saying, well, obviously you can't do that, and I would never do anything. I would just, what do you want me to do? Just sit in my bedroom all day and just pray? No, but we ought to be in an attitude of prayer all day, right? All the time. We ought to be communicating with God. Holy Spirit of God ought to be able to touch our heart about the smallest and gentlest of things, and that ought to change the direction of our conversation, our ways. So it should be that we should be aware that there are men and women around us, children around us, in need of the Savior. Heavenly Father, is this the one that you would like me to talk to? I have a gospel tract in my pocket. I am prepared. I am ready. Lord, would you touch my heart to see the need that is before me? God, will you touch my eyes to see men clearly? Would you remove the selfishness and pride that have encased my heart? Because that's what Mark chapter 8 was. It was a guy about him getting to Christ, and I understand that. It wasn't for the lack of power in Christ. He was revealing something about us and our view of others. Lord, would you please touch my heart? Lord, would you break my heart? Would you remove the selfishness and the pride? How do you have a burden for souls? Number one, through prayer. Number two, start talking to people about the Lord. Where's Charity? Is she in here? Where, is she home? No. Oh. Yesterday, we were at a door, and we knocked on the door. Where's Abby? Abby, right? We knocked on the door, and the guy opens the door this much. And it was like 11:30. It looked like he just woke up. I'm like, hi, we're from Walkabout. And he's like, I'm Buddhist. I'm like, okay. I said, well, so I said, all right, well, we won't invite you to church. I said, but here's a gospel track. He's like, well, all right, thanks. Now I'm getting things. On my phone this afternoon, there was an ad. Are Buddhist Christians? What? Unbelievable. So now, what do Buddhists believe? I don't know. So now I have to do a little education on my end. I know they're very encompassing of all gods. And I know they're very intellectual. And I've talked to Brother Hearn about that a little bit. So now I got to touch up on that. What happened? I started talking to people about the Lord. And now I have all of a sudden a new awareness that there's Buddhists and Hamlin. Start talking to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. The worst that they'll say is, no, thank you, I'm all set. Yep. That's it. There might be an occasional, ugh, and close the door. But that's about it. Mrs. Howe came to me this morning, and she said, do you really go out on Saturday mornings, door knocking? I'm like, yeah, really. She goes, I would like to do that with you. Tremendous. She's like, what time is that? Saturday morning, 10 o'clock, we'll pray, and we go out. She's like, okay. I said, well, let me know when you're coming. You know, I want to be prepared for you. You know, like, Mrs. Hout comes, like, I don't know, that's a big deal to me. I start talking to people about what happened. She wants to start talking to people about the Lord. Team up with somebody. Go out on visitation. Talk to your neighbors. Ladies, some of you are some of the greatest cooks I've ever experienced in this room right now. Make a meal and take it to somebody and try and get in with a friendship. Not sneaky, not like trying to sell them a vacuum cleaner. But truly a care for them and their soul. Start talking to people about the Lord. Realize time is short. John chapter 4. Time is short. John chapter 4. Look there. Some of you are turning. John 4:35. Say not ye, there yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. There's people waiting for the gospel to come to them. How do you have a burden for souls? Number one, praying that God would change your heart. Change your eyes. I wonder tonight how many would, without asking you to lift your hand, but how many would say, yes, I can see, but I can't see clearly. If I were to be honest, I see men as trees just walking. I do not see every man clearly. So what do we need? We need a touch by the Lord Jesus Christ on our life. That's what it took for that guy. Number two, start talking to people about the Lord. Number three, realize time is short. We think, oh, I got time later. I'll do it later. When I get things settled at the house, when I finish this project, when I get this job done, when we fix the car, when we do this, when we're in a better spot. Hey, there are souls that need Jesus today. Time is short. 1 John chapter number 1, we're almost done. 1 John chapter number 1, and verse 4. These things write we unto you that your joy may be full. God desires that you be a joyous person. So how do I have joy? Acts chapter number 15. So I just got to 1 John. I'm sorry. Now that I have bifocals, I can see better. I turn faster. I'm sorry. Acts chapter 15, the Bible says this in verse 3, and being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria. This is Paul and Barnabas, declaring the conversation of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. You know what they told everybody about? They're meeting with the churches that are in Phoenicia and Samaria. And you know what they're relating to them? Not who won the gladiator games back in Rome. Not what the weather's going to be in 2 months. No, he didn't tell about that. He talked about people coming to Christ. And it was the reason and the cause of great joy unto all the people. There's a joy associated with people coming to Christ. Psalm 126. I told you a couple weeks ago how excited we were when Sam was born. First born on our end. We didn't know what we were having, boy or girl. Had a boy. First grandchild on either side. There was a lot of excitement at that time. Not that the other ones weren't. I'm sorry, Joe and everybody else. Not saying that. I'm just saying at the moment, there was great rejoicing. Hey, you want to talk about great rejoicing? Lead someone to the Lord Jesus Christ. That will get you excited about your salvation. Psalm 126, verse 6 says this, "He that goeth forth in weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with what? Rejoicing." Bringing his sheaves with him. A guy went out by himself, alone, out into the field. What does he come back with? A harvest. You went out as a lonely Christian. What'd you come back with? A church. A body of believers. And there was much rejoicing. John chapter 4. Two more verses tonight. John chapter 4. In verse 36, and he that reapeth receiveth wages. We just read John 4:35. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Hey, there's someone praying for their brother to be saved. There's someone praying for their mom to be saved and their best friend to be saved. And Lord Jesus Christ is touching your heart to talk to somebody and you don't know all the circumstances. And that person could trust Christ. Yes, you get the fruit, but that one that soweth also will rejoice. Maybe you have a brother. Maybe you have a friend. Maybe you have a family member that needs to be saved and you're praying that the other person on the other end would be faithful. That you both can rejoice together. When someone comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, there is much rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord. Hey, don't let the devil steal your joy in leading people to Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, our last verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse 19 says this, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming?" Look what he says. "For ye are our glory and joy." Hey, sir, tell me what you see. I just see men as trees walking. Hold on, come here. Let me touch you again. Now what do you see? I see every man clearly. I'm going to ask you tonight, what do you see? If the Lord was to ask you, and you were to be honest with Christ, what would your answer be? Can I propose tonight that if you're not seeing it clearly, come ask the Lord and say, God, would you change my heart? I know the problem isn't with you, it's with me. Would you break off this blinder of pride and selfishness and humble my heart and change my eyes and give me eyes of compassion to see every man clearly? Let's all stand. Bible says, for ye are our glory and joy. Bible says, a crown of rejoicing. There's no greater day than the day that you trusted Christ. But second most is when you get to lead someone else to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you, no one looking around here tonight, say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I don't think I see things clearly. I think there's times when I see men as trees walking. Anybody like that? Uplifted hands. Okay, thank you for your honesty. That was between you and the Lord. In a moment, the music's going to play, and I ask that you'd come and ask the Lord, will you touch my heart? Touch my heart. Somehow our heart is connected to our eyes. And Lord, will you help me to see all men clearly? Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for this passage. There was no problem with your touch, Lord. You were teaching us something. And Lord, so much of the time I'm guilty of just seeing men as trees passing by. Lord, help us to see all men clearly. Lord, help us to have a burden for souls. Help us to, Lord, we need a touch upon our heart. Break off that pride. Break off that selfishness. That blindness. Lord, help us to be able to rejoice with the fruit that you have brought to us. Lord, bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here tonight? Amen.